best strength. That's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning. That's what we need. More loving, less hatred in race and creed. Soul stirring preachers. That's what we need.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
On today's broadcast, we visit with Dr. John Prudian. And if you remember, he's the author of the book, Accelerated Healing. And that is accessing Jesus' finished work of divine healing. Now, John says, if divine healing has already been purchased by Jesus' work, why are so many people still suffering? If you've ever wondered why healing has been delayed, this book is for you. Accelerated Healing is a powerful message that will lift your hopes and inspire your faith to release a new level of miracle power in your life. Here he is, my friend, Dr. John Prudian. I am always excited to get you back on our program.
Oh, wonderful, Dr. Rome. So good to hear from you. Hope everything is well with you.
Oh, yeah. We're healthy. We're healthy and doing well otherwise.
Wonderful.
Let's see, you've been in Russia to Moscow.
Yes, all over different parts of Russia, but I haven't been since 2020. That was the last time I was there. I was going every year, consistent. Ministering in a network of churches over there, and they have a wonderful network there, and the people are just really on fire for the Lord. Last time, I mean, I haven't been there in 5 years now, but I know it's still going very, very well because I'm still in touch with them there, every my friends and all that. But yeah, we see some of the most amazing miracles. God worked the most amazing miracles in Russia. God's doing great things. But then COVID started, and then the war started, and haven't been able to get back there in 5 years, unfortunately. But I do hear from my friends that are pastors. One's a pastor in Yaroslavl, and things are going very well in their churches, at least. So I'm glad. God is moving mightily in Russia. I have to go on a special religious visa. You cannot preach in a church or anywhere without a special visa. Thank the Lord, that was a miracle. I've got a come-and-go visa. Instead of having to apply for a religious visa every time I went, I got one so that I could go anytime, which was kind of unprecedented. I got that, I don't know, around 2015 or 16 or something. Yeah, that was awesome. God's doing, God's doing great and wonderful things in Russia. You know, I mean, you get police in the meetings and things like that, and you know, we're just there to proclaim the kingdom. We don't say anything about government. That would be silly. That's none of our business. We just go there and proclaim the kingdom, and that's it. And so we're there for the people of Russia, and hopefully the government realizes that and realizes we're there for the people, and we love the people.
Tell me a little bit about how you can conduct a service there.
Yeah, really not any different than in America as far as a healing meeting goes. Now, I'll do a lot of, like, leaders' meetings and stuff like that, a lot of impartation for faith, so that faith rises amongst the leadership, so that they can, in turn, pass that faith down to their people in the congregation. But a healing meeting is very similar. I have a Russian interpreter, and, you know, really just to preach the message, like, in the book of Acts, chapter 14, we have this amazing situation where Paul is preaching. There's a man from Lystra who has no strength in his feet. He's been a cripple since birth. And Paul is preaching. And as Paul is preaching, that this man is absorbing the words of Paul. And this was in Lystra, Acts 14:8. A certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, So picture this scene. Here you got this cripple, but Paul is speaking kingdom words of faith. And these kingdom words of faith are going into this man from Lystra. And as a result, faith in Jesus is rising up in this man as a result of the preaching of the word by Paul. And Paul's words are loaded with faith because he's a man of faith. And that's having an effect on this man who's been a cripple from birth. Then it said, this man, in verse 9, this man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. So picture this connection that's being made here. Paul is speaking words of faith, of kingdom life. This man is laying hold of those words, and as a result, Paul can actually see faith in this man. So there was a transference of faith. Now, maybe a better word than transference is Paul is speaking kingdom words of faith, and faith is rising up in this man. It's not like Paul's faith is transferring into the man. It's not a transfer, it's a double. So in other words, Paul's faith is high, and as a result, the man's own faith is rising up in him, and Paul can recognize his countenance being changed because it says he sees he has faith to be healed. And sometimes we teach that faith cannot be seen, but according to this passage, it can be seen because of the transformation that's visual that Paul can see in the man. He sees faith rising up in this man. His countenance is changing. He's dialed in. He's locked into the words of Paul. And we know that to every person, a measure of faith has been given. So what's happening is this crippled man's measure of faith is being activated by the active faith of Paul. And Paul sees that he has faith to be healed, and he says with a loud voice in verse 10, stand up straight on your feet. And Paul speaks these words boldly, and the Bible says he leapt and walked. This man that was crippled from birth, he leapt and walked. And this is because of that measure of faith rising up in this crippled man. This is why it's so important to speak the words of the kingdom and be led by the Spirit and speak kingdom words of faith. So when I go to a place like Moscow or anywhere really, but in Russia, we speak these kingdom words of faith so that faith rises up. It's their own faith, their own measure of faith rises up and it becomes activated. You know, the faith has to be active. Faith is not passive. And so we see faith get activated in the leaders and in people. We do healing meetings. We see this same phenomenon, Dr. Rome, that we see in Acts 14, verse 8, that people's faith becomes activated, and through the activation of faith, miracles happen, and miracles become easy because God is looking for faith. Right? God is a God of faith. He's not just looking for need. He's looking for faith. God responds to faith. There's need everywhere. God's primary response is not to need. His response is to faith. The world would be a lot different if God's primary response was to need first. It's not. The Bible says, and even Jesus posed the question, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? He didn't say, will I find need on the earth? Need's everywhere. There's always been need everywhere. But it's those people who rise up in faith, whose faith gets activated, that step in, and either receive their miracle or they get saved, they grow in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see people get healed like this man from Lystra. Faith is so valuable to God, and we're saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And faith is an activator of the grace of God. And so faith is huge. And so when we travel to places, it's all about activating people's faith, getting their faith active. There's not a transference of faith. It's their faith being activated, the faith that is within them. To every person, a measure of faith has been given. And so this is really this ministry that we are called to, as our ministry is called Jesus Nation, bringing people into the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and making disciples of Jesus. But this is where the miracles happen. This is where the salvation happens. Saving faith is the same way. People hear the word of God. You know, First Corinthians, how will they hear if someone doesn't go? How are they going to hear the good news? And when they hear the good news, they'll either respond in faith, faith will rise up in them, or they won't, and they'll reject the Word of God. I like to call Jesus the magnetic Jesus, because wherever he went, people were either attracted to him or repelled by him. There was one or two responses, and the people that were attracted to them, faith was rising up in them, and then they got to step into the benefits of the kingdom. And Jesus would say, look, the kingdom of God has come near. He'd work a miracle, or so he would see somebody, they'd have an encounter with the kingdom, with Jesus, and they would say, I'm giving back my good money I stole back. Or they'd get a miracle and say, the kingdom of God is near. You just encountered the kingdom. And this is all about faith activation.
Well, can you tell us anything more? What's going to happen in Russia? Do you have any indication in the spirit where this is going?
Well, I'm very bullish on the church. And I think we all should always be bullish on the church, no matter what it looks like. But they are experiencing a measure of revival in the churches there in Russia, which is wonderful. They're also experiencing revival in the churches in Ukraine as well. And that's wonderful to see also. So I'm very bullish on the church. And hopefully a peace deal will get brokered so the war will end. We hate seeing people being killed. I mean, just awful. This war has been very, very bad. We don't even know how many people have been killed. It could be over 1 million people. We just don't know. But it's been very, very bad. And so I would love to see these countries stop fighting and come together, obviously, revival in the churches. You know, I always take an approach. I don't always know what's going to happen in nations, Dr. Rome. I don't think anybody does. So it's really important to know what God is doing and what's happening in the churches more than anything, because that's what really counts. Peter calls us a holy nation, and that's really the basis for our ministry called Jesus Nation. It's about the nation of God, being God's holy people, being a holy nation unto the Lord and the church. My mandate is to see people come into the kingdom of God and for the church to be of Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. Jesus Christ to be established. And we know Jesus is coming back for a pure and spotless bride. And, you know, nations may be in disarray, but that doesn't mean the church has to be that way. In fact, sometimes the more disarray a nation is in, the stronger the church gets at times. We've seen that phenomenon in the early church. My job, my goal as a minister of the Lord Jesus is to make disciples, to preach the good news, to see people come into the kingdom of God, and for them to become a part of Jesus' nation, the church, and for that church to be rooted and grounded in love and established in the kingdom and outward focused so that more people come into the kingdom. Everybody in the church should be sharing the good news, the gospel. The good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that people can be rescued out of the dysfunction of the world and come into the kingdom of God and become sons of God. The whole gospel and the good news is that Jesus Christ paid the price so that we could repent of our sins and receive the abiding Holy Spirit and become a new creation. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives within me. And as our lives get transformed from the inside out, and we go from dysfunction of the world to complete function of the absorbed into the kingdom. People go from darkness to light, from dysfunction to kingdom function. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ is all about. And we have to be making disciples. Jesus told us to make disciples of all the nations. And so that's my heart and my goal. Right now, I'm an American citizen. I love this country. But that's not my eternity. I'm eternally a citizen of heaven. And I focus on the citizenship of heaven and bringing people into that citizenship. I'm not just trying to make American citizens. I can't save anybody, but I preach the good news, and the Lord is the one that converts them and makes them into citizens, makes people into citizens of heaven. And I love this country. I love our country. So grateful for the United States of America. My gosh. I mean, we're so blessed. And our founding fathers, so many of them were amazing Christians. And they assembled our Constitution in such a way that the gospel could be preached, the gospel could be practiced without persecution, which is wonderful. We see other nations, that's not the case, and many Christians dying right now for their faith in Iran and other places. Mozambique, people are dying as people are of a different religion are massacring Christians there. But the main thing is that we're part of the kingdom, Jesus' nation, and then it doesn't matter, right? People can do whatever, kill us or whatever, but we're eternal people that know Jesus. So it's so important that people step into salvation and eternal salvation in Jesus. So that's my heart, and to strengthen the churches, for faith rises up in them, to get the gifts of the Spirit activated in churches, and so that people are rooted and grounded in love. And it's so important that people know the Bible, know the Scriptures, and are rooted in the Scriptures. I've seen, Dr. Rome, too many, they might move in some gifts of the Spirit, but they're not rooted in the Word of God. They can be easy prey to Satan, who comes along with lies, and people will believe lies if they're not rooted and grounded in truth. And we know that when Jesus was tempted by the devil, he refuted the devil with Scripture in the proper context. So it's so important that we know the Bible so well that it's just in us. That is really the key to not falling away, is to be rooted and grounded in love and in the Scriptures. You see the early church, you see the apostles and everything. They were just trying to plant churches. Paul went all over planting churches to be rooted and grounded in love, to build the church of Jesus Christ. Now, at the same time, if someone is called into politics, that's wonderful. We need Christians in politics. So I'm definitely not saying that we should not focus on that. I love some of the people the Lord is raising up that are Spirit-filled, and God's putting them in office for such a time as this, so that evil doesn't reign in our government. We do not want evil in our government. We don't want what the Founding Fathers established to be undone and for crazy people to take over that have an agenda to tear apart our republic. So that part is very important also. Ultimately, what counts is and good government is wonderful because it enables the gospel to go forward. Look at how the establishment of our republic has benefited the world because of what the Founding Fathers did that were Christians. Look at the result and how God has blessed our nation as a result, and how we've been able to bless other nations with the gospel as a result of having a good government. So these things are very, very important as well. So I don't want to minimize the importance of that at all. So I pray more people are raised up that are Christians to go into government, to go and shift the atmosphere. We cannot let evil people take over the government. That would be absolutely terrible. But I know God won't let that happen if those that are called to government will step into their role and understand that that's their call, the call of God on their life. And many are doing that, and that's wonderful to see. So we need both, Dr. Rum, but we definitely need to establish people in the kingdom, because we have a mandate from the Lord Jesus Christ to do so. It's not an either-or, Dr. Rome. It's a both. It's a both-and.
Okay, it's both. Yes, we're in the natural world. And even when Israel was in captivity, God told them to buy, sell, build, save, make homes. It doesn't matter what was going on in the world. It matters what's going on with us to the greater extent. Amen?
Absolutely. Yep. And you don't want evil people running the world. It won't be a good place. Yes. Yes, absolutely. We're sons. We're daughters. We're led by the Spirit. And we have to do our part. You know, I like to say it this way. We do as led by the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. God calls us to do something. We do it. I call that, we do the small possible part. And then God gives the increase. He does the large, impossible part. But we have to do the small part. That's the co-labor part. That's not the miracle part. That's the activator, and then God does the impossible. So that's why he gets all the glory. Even with salvation, he did it all. He paid the price, a debt we could never repay. So he did it all. We cannot save ourselves. We do the small possible part by receiving his salvation and what he's done. We answer the call. God calls it. He's the one that even does the calling, not us. He's the one pursuing us. But we respond to it. We do the small possible part to step into his miracle of salvation. And it's the same way with our lives and with the church. Everyone needs to do their part and do their small possible part. This church, the Church of Jesus Christ, would be absolutely a dynamic kingdom, just amazing, if everybody did their small possible part. Things have shifted. Dr. Rome, if you want, I could talk about some other things with our ministry, Jesus Nation, if you'd like.
What have you got for us, John?
Thank you, Dr. Rome. Appreciate our time together, as always. You're a wonderful man of God, and always enjoy being with you. Thank you for having me. Yeah, we've had quite a shift, my wife and I. We run a ministry called Jesus Nation, and that's to make disciples, to proclaim the good news, and make disciples, of to bring people into, as Peter says, into a holy nation. We're a holy nation of God. My wife and I recently finished doctoral ministry degrees at Global Awakening Theological Seminary, which was a wonderful experience. And my wife wrote a discipleship course called Journey. And this has been so wonderful. And we've since become pastors of a church in Rancho Mirage, California. And we're doing the Bible. I mentioned in the last broadcast how important it is for people to be rooted and grounded in love and in the scriptures. And so this whole year, Dr. Rome, we've been reading through the one-year Bible as a church. And my wife and I have been preaching on what everyone is reading that week in the one-year Bible. So last week was 1 Corinthians, so we preached on 1 Corinthians. And then everything lines up, the small groups, the men's group, all the different groups are, people are able to process what they read that week in a small group setting. So first they read it in the Bible, then they hear me or Janet preach on it, or sometimes we have a guest speaker, and then they process it in their small groups. And people have been really growing as a result. And we've also established this discipleship track. We have a New Beginnings course where people understand, everyone needs to understand what it means to be saved. It's so important when someone gives their life to Jesus that there's immediate follow-up and immediate discipleship takes place so they don't wander astray. What we don't want is a situation like the parable of the sower where the seed falls on the ground and it's quick. People receive the word of God quickly, but it's stolen very quickly because it doesn't bear fruit. It doesn't go into the ground and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's where the discipleship comes in place. And so we're putting a wonderful discipleship track together. First, the New Beginnings. We talk about the different baptisms of water, what it means to be born again, what it means to be water baptized, what it means to be filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit. And then the Journey course is the second leg, which is all about identity. People must be established and get their new identity established, lest they go back to their old identity. And Paul addressed this in 1 Corinthians. They were doing stupid stuff, the Corinthian church, some of the people in the Corinthian church. He said something great. He says, you're behaving like mere humans.
Mere men. Like.
And I love that line. Isn't that a great line? You're behaving like mere humans. Like you're behaving like you were before you were filled with the Spirit. You know, the Bible is very clear that when someone is born again, that means born again to the Spirit, you receive the Holy Spirit, you're no longer just human anymore. You're a human being filled with the Spirit, which is not the same as being a mere human. And that's why Paul's like, you guys are behaving like mere humans here, not someone that's filled with the Spirit. You're a new creation in Christ when you repent and give your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior and receive the Holy Spirit, you become a new creation. You're not just a human anymore. You're not a mere human. I was a human. Now I'm a human being that's filled with the Spirit. But we are a new creation when we are born again, which means a human being that's filled with God's Spirit. It's so interesting. God creates something completely new, a human being filled with the Spirit of God. It's not God. It's not a human anymore. It's a human being filled with the Spirit. That's what Paul is establishing, the identity, and that's what this journey course is all about. Establishing someone with their new identity in Christ as a Spirit-filled human. We died to being just a human. Now we're alive to Christ in you. Like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. I'm a new creation, Christ in John. I'm not John anymore. John was a human being. Now Christ in John is a human being that's filled with the Spirit of God.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It's excellent what you said today. I thank you, Lord, for visiting with this man. I thank you for the opportunity. Would you like to pray for our audience?
Oh, I'd love to, Dr. Rome. Yes. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's tuning into my voice right now. I thank you, Father, that you have called. Many are called, Lord. And we pray that anyone that doesn't know you, that hears my voice right now, Lord God, would realize their dysfunction, would repent of their sin, and give their lives fully to you as Lord and as Savior, Lord, and step into the kingdom of God and receive your Holy Spirit and become a son or daughter of the King and be led by your Spirit and live a dynamic kingdom, eternal life, Lord God. Lord, you've got general things to do for everyone, Lord, to preach the gospel, to share the good news, to lay hands on the sick and see you heal them, but also, Lord, specific things, Father. And I pray those specific things rise up. Some may be called into the church. Some may be called into politics. Some may be called into marketplace ministries, Lord. I just bless that, Lord. That every person that hears my voice, Lord, would receive you, be filled with your Spirit, and then wherever they're planted, Lord God, would thrive, would proclaim the good news, would just share the good news, Lord God, of you with their co-workers, Lord, with people they come across, Lord, with Uber drivers, with the cashiers, Lord, at their servers, waiter, waitresses, Lord, at restaurants, wherever they go. Father, I pray everybody realizes wherever they go, they're a minister. Wherever they go, you've called them to release the kingdom, to share the good news, Lord God. I pray nobody misses out on stepping into the good news. Lord, we thank you and we honor you and we give you glory and praise this day. And we thank you. You're so good at working salvation, Father. In your wonderful, perfect name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
If you would like to learn more about or contact today's guest, Dr. John Prudian, go to his webpage, JesusNation.org. That's JesusNation.org.
Everywhere I go, there's folks who want to know just what is our country way out. Some think it's in a man, and on his word they stand. But when I hear it, I just want to shout. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More loving, less hatred, in race and creed. Soul-stirring preachers, that's what we need.